Mad. Money. Machine. Show number 39. Mad. Money. Machine. September 14th, 2006. Sounds pretty dramatic, doesn't it? Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and this is your Mad Money Machine. And here's Crystal.
The Mad Money Machine, nominated as Best Business Podcast at PodcastAwards.com.
The Mad Money Machine, which Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine in October 2006 will declare one of the must-read bloggers. And if you like the written blog, an audio version is available as a podcast. Sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. I thought I'd try something new just to mix things up a little bit. That's what you voted for out there after all. You wanted to mix it up. That's music from the PodSafe Music Network. It's X-Ray Dogs with Alta Plaza. We're going to have a spin at the Guru Roulette Wheel. We're going to have a tool in the crib for you. I'm going to talk about Kramer's Picks. We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about this time, including some listener feedback. And if you'd like to give your feedback, email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. Or hey, why not somebody please call me at the voicemail line 206-734-4736. That number once again, 206-734-4736. On the last show, I talked about how I went my first trip to RFK Stadium to see the Washington Nationals. Well, I've been living in the D.C. area since, 1983. And with the exception of a year and a half where we lived in London, we've been around here ever since. And that was the first time I'd ever been to RFK Stadium. Well, guess what? I made another trip to RFK Stadium just last Saturday also, and that was to see the DC United soccer team play Real Salt Lake, and they ended up in a tie, 1-1. Got to see Freddie Adu score a goal off a penalty kick, and we went to Mount Vernon to see the home of George Washington. Interesting tour there. Again, nice off-season, low turnout crowds. There's a chair in George Washington's office, just a regular wooden chair, four legs, except there are two places to put your feet out front of the chair, and apparently you push down on these and that operates a fan over above the head of the chair. That was air conditioning back in George Washington's time, I guess. Well, by now you've heard that Apple's going to have an ITV or some kind of name that they'll come up with in 2007. It's a little box that you hook up to your TV that lets you show stuff from your computer on your TV screen. Movies, podcasts, music, photos, $299. I want to know, what is that going to do that the Xbox 360 doesn't already do? And then some.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 6, Style Drifters. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. So I spent all this time designing my portfolio. You know, a large cap growth fund, a small cap value fund, and all that, in just the right proportions to give me the perfect risk versus reward temperament. Well, guess what? Some of these funds are now under new management, and they changed what they own now. My life is rearranged. They've completely screwed up my temperament. Who are they to think I wanted to change? Well, I've learned if you expect nothing from them, then at least you can be pleasantly surprised. It's hard to trust any of these mutual fund managers when you've heard this happen so many times. Style drift refers to the tendency of active managers and actively managed mutual funds to deviate from their stated or expected investment style. For example, a manager may drift from small cap value to small cap growth. This is a substantial problem if you have carefully determined your risk capacity and matched it to a risk exposure. Mutual fund managers are pushed to outperform other fund managers and their proper benchmarks. The temptation to dabble outside the scope of their fund's stated style in order to enhance the fund's performance sets all actively managed funds adrift. To avoid style drift, it is best to implement your asset allocation with pure style index funds. If your investments are getting out of balance, if your manager is guilty of style drift, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home. By the way, if you missed any steps, go ahead and go back in the Mad Money Machine archives and pick up show number 34. That's where we started with step one. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game. No, I'm not talking about Texas Hold'em or soccer. I'm talking about Guru Roulette. Ever place numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine show number 39 is a listener selected addition to the Guru Roulette Wheel, Jean-Marie Evaliard. Karen Gibbs of the Wall Street Week with Fortune show that aired, what, a handful of times back in 2003, said Jean-Marie Evaliard is a bottoms-up value investor and possibly the best fund manager on the planet. Louis Rukeyser called him one of the best companions a cautious American investor can have on financial voyages abroad. Evaliard was recently a co-president and portfolio manager of the First Eagle Funds, the same position he held with Société Générale Asset Management until its acquisition by Arnold and Blackrock at the end of 1999. He managed the First Eagle Global Fund starting in 1979, the First Eagle Overseas and Gold Funds from their commencement in 1993, and the First Eagle U.S. Value Fund beginning in September 2001 inception. His style of value investing has been described as a mix of Benjamin Graham's cheap stock approach and Warren Buffett's practice of buying franchise business at reasonable prices. Evaliard likened value investing to a large tent that accommodates many different people. At one end, there are the value followers of Benjamin Graham. In the middle, there are the new value followers of Warren Buffett. And at the far end are the new value investors. Over the course of his career, Evaliard has floated between the Graham and Buffett approaches. Running the First Eagle Global Fund between 1979 and 1986, he found the Graham approach to be less time-consuming. Well, article that I'll have a link to says the annualized net return of Evaliard's flagship vehicle, the First Eagle Global Fund, was 15.5% as of December 31st, 2004, and that is a $100,000 investment made at the inception on January 1st, 1979 would have been worth over $4.2 million on December 31st, 2004. Well, that's quite an accomplishment. Sounds like, doesn't it? Let's go benchmark that portfolio, shall we? Let's go out to ifa.com, hit benchmark your portfolio right there in the center, Let's select Index Folio 100, a date range between January 1st, 1979 through December 31st, 2004. Beginning value 100,000, and click number 6, Calculate. And the results for that portfolio are annualized return 15.76%, with a standard deviation, remember last show, 14.57%. A growth of $100,000 there is $4.48 million. Well, Jean-Marie Evaliard, doesn't look like you have a whole lot of bragging rights there because you haven't beat the index. I went and looked at the transcript on the Wall Street Week with Fortune interview with Karen Gibbs. And in there, he recommended 6 stocks. One of them was Liberty Media. And I can't get a good handle on what Liberty Media prices went because they split into 2 tracking stocks beginning of 2006. So I'm just going to forget about them. He gave us... this interview occurred on February 3rd, 2003. And he gave us these 5 stocks. Remy Quantro. It was trading at $28. Recent price for it is $39. Laurent Perrier, $30.50. Now it's $60.50. Barnes & Noble, $17.05. Now it's $36.91. McDonald's, $13.62 up to $38.20. And Ryanair, symbol RYN, timber manufacturer, $18.80, now up to $38.78. I put a hypothetical portfolio together of these 5 stocks and calculated the annualized return of these 5 stocks. If you'd had your money in the Jean-Marie Evaliard portfolio since February 3rd, 2003, these 5 stocks, Remy Quantro, Laurent Perrier, Barnes & Noble, McDonald's, Ryanair, your average annualized return would have been an astonishing 22.1%. Fantastic returns. Let's go ahead and benchmark that, shall we, with the IFA 100? Let's select beginning February 1st, 2003 to August 31st, 2006. And press calculate. And the annualized return for them is 26.22%. Once again, the IFA portfolio of Index 100 has beaten the Jean-Marie Evaliard portfolio of stocks. As great as they sounded, going up an average of 22.1%, it's still just not good enough. Well, congratulations, Jean-Marie. You're the guru on Mad Money Machine Show number 39. We're going to get to a book giveaway in just a second. I appreciate all your feedback. The good comments, the bad comments, the constructive criticism. Here's one from David. Dear Paul, I just listened, or tried to, your latest podcast, and I must say it was a very bad surprise to hear what amounted to an ad for the TV show Battlestar Galactica. Frankly, I don't listen to your podcast to get your opinion about TV shows. Adding insult to injury, it's a show that I find personally offensive artistically and in the way Ron Moore spends his time promoting it instead of fixing it. Apparently, the relentless promotion worked with you, but it made me stop listening to that podcast out of anger at being tricked into wasting my time. Please don't do that again. I know I won't listen anymore if you don't stick to the topic, a topic which you actually are quite knowledgeable and interesting. Thank you for taking the time to read my email, David. Thanks, David, for the constructive criticism. What did you mean that Ron Moore spends his time promoting it instead of fixing it? What's broken about Battlestar Galactica? Call me at the voicemail line, 206-734-4736, and let me know. Also, I had a couple of people adding comments out of MadMoneyMachine.com that said the Action Alerts Plus Google Alerts trick doesn't work anymore. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Of course, I knew they'd change things around once they got on to us. We knew that, didn't we? Well, as of Wednesday, September 13th, we have 7 people that made a comment in order to win the book, Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. I'll pick one at a random in a minute. The question this week was, name a investment that you own
and explain why it's not in an index fund. A couple of you said you had money in gold. Well, shucks. Gold didn't do so good the past few days. Demi247 owns some Apple. MojoJojo103 owns some CHS. Oliver owns GE. Bo.dot.dot owns some GE also. I think all of you said you do own some index funds. Well, good going. Let's pick one of you at random at random.org. I'll say generate one random integer. Smallest value is 1. Largest value is 7. Get number. The number is 2. And that translates into pig iron. He says, my answer is simple. Gold and silver, not gold stocks, not precious metal ETFs, but actual, real gold and silver. Makes up about 15% of my net worth. I don't want to sound apocalyptic, but when it comes right down to it, we live in uncertain times. Gold and silver are about as certain to retain their value through difficult times as any other investment, including index funds. Well, congratulations, Pig Iron. I'll get your address, get a book right out to you, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy reading it. Coming up in just a minute, the question for next time. I'd promised to tell you more about the Petersburg payout. If you haven't, if this is your first time listening to Mad Money Machine, well, the Petersburg payout came up a show or two ago. And when we talked about this game where Peter agrees to pay Paul $2 if the coin flip comes up heads the first time. But if it comes up heads the second time, then it doubles it to $4. If it's a third time, he doubles it again to $8 and so on. How much would you pay Paul to take his place in the game? Well, the first time I actually heard about this Petersburg payout was in a book called Against the Gods, The Remarkable Story of Risk by Peter Bernstein. Bernstein. And it's actually called the Petersburg Paradox. He says the paradox arises because the accepted method of calculation, or expected value, does indeed value Paul's prospects at infinity. But no one would be willing to purchase those prospects at a moderately high price. Any fairly reasonable man would sell his chance with great pleasure for 20 ducats, which translates in this game to be $40. It said, whether it be in ducats or dollars, the evaluation of Paul's expectation has long attracted the attention of leading scholars in mathematics, philosophy, and economics. The Petersburg paradox is more than an academic exercise in the exponents and roots of tossing coins. Here's the point I wanted to get to. Consider a great growth company. Think Google. Whose prospects are so brilliant that they seem to extend to infinity. Even under the absurd assumption that we could make an accurate forecast of a company's earnings into infinity, we're lucky if we can make an accurate forecast of next quarter's earnings. What is a share of stock in the company worth? An infinite amount? Peter Bernstein says, there have been moments when real, live, hands-on professional investors have entertained dreams as wild as that. Now, this book was written in 1996, before the dot-com craze, mind you. He says, moments when the laws of probability are forgotten. He goes into talking about the 60s and 70s where there were the so-called nifty 50 growth stocks, which people were willing to pay anything they could to get companies like Xerox, Coca-Cola, IBM, Polaroid. He said the investment managers at the time defined the risk in the nifty 50 not as the risk of overpaying, but as the risk of not owning them. The growth prospects seemed so certain that the future level of earnings and dividends would, in God's good time, always justify whatever price they paid. said the view reached such an extreme point that investors ended up by placing the same total market value on small companies like International Flavors and Fragrances, with sales of only $138 million, as they placed on a less glamorous business like U.S. Steel, with sales of $5 billion. In December 1972, Polaroid was selling for 96 times its 1972 earnings, McDonald's 80 times, and IFF 73 times. The average of Standard & Poor's Index 500 stocks was selling at 19 times. The proof of this particular pudding was surely in the eating, and a bitter mouthful it was. The dazzling prospects of earnings rising up to the sky turned out to be worth a lot less than an infinite amount. And so the story goes. Where were you, Peter Bernstein? Why didn't I read this book before the dot-com craze? Well, that's the point of the Petersburg payout is, you have a chance of infinite earnings. How much are you willing to pay for it? Probably not a whole lot, is the right answer. Oh, I've got a great tool in the crib for you this week. This tool is really amazing. It's exactly what I've been looking for as a better way of presenting the Portfolio Smackdown. It lets you add stocks to the portfolio, compare two or more portfolios, it shows graphs, calculates returns and standard deviations. And the best thing, the one thing that I needed in this tool, was the ability for the public to see the portfolio results. I didn't want to have, you know, I didn't want a password protected thing. I didn't want something where people had to log into it. I just wanted a link that I could post. People click on the link and they see the results of the Portfolio Smackdown automatically updated throughout the day. Now, of course, there are many sites that let you keep track of your private portfolio, but the key thing about this one is that the public can see it. This is the first one I've ever seen that does that. It's the social networking of portfolio management and asset allocation. You can compare your asset allocation with someone else's. You can compare performance. Who's got the best return for the least amount of risk? Well, where do you go and get this tool? That's the bummer. It doesn't exist. At least as far as I've seen. I have looked, and I have looked, and I have looked. I've looked all year long, and I can't find one anywhere that does this one simple thing. Let the public view it without requiring a login. Help, Yahoo! Help, Morningstar! Help, MarketWatch! Well, what about simulator.zacks.com, you ask, or the MarketWatch virtual stock portfolio? Nah, they just don't meet the requirements that I need. I need to put in stocks as of a certain date. Well, there you don't have it this week. Our tool that's missing from the tool crib. The Public Portfolio Analyzer. This one's free, I guess. No, this one's going to cost a whole lot of money for somebody to develop. If you find something out there like that that does what I want, would you drop me an email or a Skype call? 206-734-4736. Well, you voters out there did say to mix up the music. There were a few votes for Acid Emo Punk, which I don't really know what that is. I think I added the word acid to emo punk. It turns out from Wikipedia it says emo is a subgenre of hardcore punk music. As I got to reading that article, it said emo music originated in Washington, D.C. Another thing that I never took advantage of after living nearby all these years. Well, anyway, here's a sampler from the PodSafe Music Network, Time to Dance by Panic at the Disco.
Cause that's just ridiculous. Well, she sure is gonna get it. Here's the setting. Fashion magazines are the walls now. The walls are the bully. Oh.
Here's a little something for you to think about. Jim Cramer's stock universe includes about 2,700 stocks. Why is that? Well, the stocks that he can talk about on his show have to have a certain size in the company. They have to have a certain dollar amount in their shares and other criteria. So out of the, 9,000, 10,000 publicly traded companies out there, his universe includes, I estimate, about 2,700. Well, that's 7,300, or between 8,000 stocks that he doesn't cover. Many of these are the small companies. Many of these are the companies priced under $2. Well, guess what? Which particular stock asset class is the best performing historically? Is it the large cap companies, the large cap growth companies, the large cap value companies, mid cap, small cap? According to Fama and French, it's the small cap value stocks that are the best performing. And why is that? Because they have the highest risk. And it's been shown that investments that have the highest risk over the long term tend to give you the highest return. Well, therefore, Jim Cramer is missing out on a whole lot of investments that should give us a higher return. Something to think about. On the last show, I listed the performance of Cramer's January featured stocks. Well, let's do February. What do you say? And out at the website, I have a lot more details about the February featured stocks. The bottom line is, if you took all of the featured stocks from February, bought them the next morning, and up until Thursday, September 14th, their average gain is minus 6.2%. Compared that with the Index Funds Advisors Index 100 portfolio, from beginning of March to end of August, it was up 1.38%. Come on, Jim! Okay, I think it's time now to give away another copy of Index Funds, the 12-step program for active investors, written by Mark Hebner at IndexFundsAdvisorsIFA.com. In Chapter 6 for Style Drifters, you'll see some examples of other mutual funds in there, like Fidelity Magellan, Vanguard Explorer, Scudder Large Value, and it shows you over time how the composition of these mutual funds has changed. It's Style Drift. Well, this week's question to give away a book is going to be a whole lot easier, so I'd like to see more than 7 responses, please. And in recognition of being listed as one of the must-read bloggers by Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine of October, I'll ask you this simple question. Name another blog that you read regularly. It doesn't have to be about finance. It can be any blog at all. If you want to list more than one, that's fine too. But surely, if you listen to podcasts, you also read blogs. So that's all you need to do. Put a comment in the show notes. You can register at madmoneymachine.com. I promise not to spam you more than 5 times per year if you register with your email address at madmoneymachine.com. So enter a comment in the show notes for this show. Tell me what blog you like to read, and you'll be registered to win a copy of this book by the next show. I'll pick one at random. Coming up next week on the Mad Money Machine, I'll take another look at the must-read bloggers. I'll answer your voice feedback at 206-734-4736. Maybe I'll look at Jim's March stock picks, update you on the portfolio smackdown, talk about Step 7, the silent partners, and be getting ready for Podcast Expo on September 29th and 30th. So until next time, this is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money. And it takes benchmarking the other guy's portfolio performance to make a mad money machine. See you next time. And visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Helping investors succeed by matching people like you with portfolios.
You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podsafe.com. podshow.com. Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.